Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
Well, it seems forever ago that the Patriots beat the Dolphins, but we do need to talk about that game because I think it might have been the best defensive performance to date.
Yeah, in my mind, it definitely was. I thought the front seven was outstanding, especially, you completely shut down Lamar Miller. You got nothing on the ground for the second week in a row, and I know Andy and I sort of bickered about it against the Jets, whether or not it was due to Chris Ivory's health. No such excuse for the opponent on this game. They were really strong up front, and then once they made them one-dimensional, the pass rush kicked in. So, yeah, I think definitely the best defensive performance of the year.
And Chandler Jones, I would say, had a couple sacks. He leads the league in sacks now, and his second sack of the game when he beat basically a double team. Jordan Cameron, the tight end, Brandon Albert, the left tackle, both good players. He split them to get to Tannehill. May have been the best rush, in my opinion, of his career here. And to see him putting up the numbers and then putting up the impact plays, that's a great sign if he can stay healthy for the long-term look of this defense.
And they needed that because despite putting up 36 points, it wasn't your typical way of doing things for the Patriots offense. I think the Miami Dolphins defense did give them a little bit of a challenge, and they needed that complementary type of football to put points on the board.
You're right, Freddie. The defense set the offense up for a change, rather than the other way around. And you're right, it was sort of that sloppy stuff that you see sometimes in these Thursday night games, a lot of penalties early in the game, getting the Patriots behind the chains. And I know you like when I say that.
I like that.
They had the crackback block. There was another clip, I think, they got called for. So you're really setting up like first and 25s. Tough situations to overcome. And I think at one point they punted four possessions in a row, but yet you end up with two interceptions. You force a safety. So you end up getting 15 points basically from the defense.
Force a safety?
Okay. Well, they got a safety.
Right.
Did you see the slow-mo of Tanner? No.
Yeah, and
there's negative Andy again.
And I think Miami's offense shot themselves in the foot. Tannehill ended up with like a 64 rating for quarterback. But the Miami defense, we expected them to come in there with a lot of emotion. You know, they had won their last two games. You know, the fiery linebacker head coach. And we thought that was going to be the case, and I think it was.
Especially up front on the edges. I thought Cameron Wake and Olivier Vernon really gave Fleming at right tackle. Wake was giving him some problems. Vernon on the other side with Vollmer. I thought that pass rush on the edges, I didn't think Sue was really all that big of a deal in the middle. If anything, I thought Earl Mitchell played probably as well as Sue did.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
That front, I think, gave you some problems. But again, you know, it is what it is on the offensive line. They're dealing with injuries. They're dealing with a young guy in Fleming in there and young guys up front. And even though they gave you problems, it didn't by any means derail you.
And what you're starting to see, I think, is this offense is just so relentless that even when it's not clicking, completely clicking, they just put so much on you. It's a mental grind as well as physical. And they just keep coming at you. And before you knew it, you know, the end of the game comes and it's 36 points. You know, it's a couple of late touchdowns for Julian Edelman in garbage time. But you're not going to just come out and say, oh, we're going to hold the Patriots to 10 today or 13. You're not going to do that. Even when they don't play well, they find a way to just grind and grind. They did it against the Jets with 14 fourth quarter points, and they did it again against Miami. I don't know if anyone's capable of really consistently holding this offense under, say, 25 points.
And again, I think I say it every week, but one of those factors that they have this year, when a defense is giving them trouble, it seems that Deion Lewis is a guy who gets them out of that jam or is that outlet for Brady that, you know, he gets more than he's supposed to on the play. And he's been an X factor this year, you know, against the good defenses like Dallas and Miami.
And he was back out there healthy. There was some doubt about what he'd be, and that doubt went away when Koamisi went to try to tackle him, and he made him look silly. Added him to his own little personal highlight film he's putting together of these linebackers in space that he just makes them absolutely look ridiculous. And you look at it, and all of a sudden, boom, he's got 93 yards, I think it was, receiving. And he's got a couple of good runs, you know, 11-yard run in the running game. He is now that, you know, we've talked about it before, but when they're clicking, it's sort of those all three levels with Lewis, Edelman, and then Gronkowski. And then you add your guy, Fred, Brandon LaFell was back making plays on the outside.
Yep.
You know, I think this is as deep an arsenal as Brady has had. They might not all be elite. You know, I don't know that LaFell or even Lewis is truly elite. But the depth of where he can go all over the field.
And you got a guy like McDaniels and Brady who are so in sync, they can do anything they want, really. It's remarkable. Well, playing on Thursday gave us a chance to watch the rest of the league on Sunday. Are you guys impressed or not?
And this is about the third time already we've gotten a chance to do that, and I come away similarly unimpressed with the majority of the league. Now, I thought Denver was impressive, when what they did to Green Bay on Sunday night, but what I see more often than not is a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers, a lot of bad decision-making, clock mismanagement. It just seems like the Patriots, and I know that we're Patriots Football Weekly and we're supposed to think like this, but they just seem more prepared.
Yeah.
They go into these games and they don't beat themselves. They don't shoot themselves in the foot with bad mistakes, bad decisions, and reckless football. And what, three turnovers they've committed all season long? If you're going to beat the Patriots, you're going to do it because you match their preparation and their perfection, because right now they do not make mistakes.
Even the Bengals, who are undefeated, and the Patriots won't play them until the playoffs, if they look like they were doing things that if they were playing the Patriots, they would have lost.
Right.
You know, making those types of mistakes that the Patriots would have preyed on.
And that's what all the games are. You see a lot of sloppy play, a lot of mistakes, but because it's two teams that are both limited and sloppy, it kind of goes back and forth. And yes, you end up with competitive football on the scoreboard. I don't know if it's good football, if it's entertaining.
All right, Washington coming up.
Tough one.
You know what I mean? You know what that means? 8-0.
Patriots are going to be facing an interesting choice coming up pretty soon. Brian Stork, their starting center from a year ago, is going to be coming back. What do you do here? Do you put him right back into that job that he did so well last year, or do you stick with the rookie, David Andrews, who's done a pretty good job in the first seven games? It's going to be interesting to see if one of these guys can move to guard, because you're starting to get a little bit of attrition there as well. Shaq Mason's been out. Trey Jackson got banged up. He left the Miami game early. And Brian Stork has a chance to come back and really solidify things on the inside. But it's not an easy choice. It's going to be interesting to see what Bill Belichick decides to do. Last week, I talked about my buddy Brandon LaFell, and he had some struggles against the New York Jets, dropping a lot of passes. And I told everybody then, don't worry about it. And the only one who worried was Fred Kirsch, because he wanted no part of him moving forward if he dropped a couple of more passes against Miami. Thankfully, we didn't get to see if that happened, because LaFell was back to his dependable self. The best play, I thought, was that one down the sideline, the back shoulder fade. That's exactly what Brandon LaFell brings to this offense, and that's exactly why Tom Brady continues to go to him. It was good to see JoJo back. This Washington game is a little bit interesting to me. It might be another one of those games where the Patriots decide offensively that they won't just use the run as an annoying little play just to pass the time in between all the passing plays. I think LeGarrette Blount could get some carries in this one. He got some work against Miami. The results were a little bit lukewarm. I thought he was pretty good late in the game after it had been decided. I'd like to see that production increase a little bit earlier on. The Redskins struggle to stop the run, and I think Blount could get a heavier workload this week.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
It's one of those plays when you get the right time and it's hard to defend.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Images of the week from Thursday night's win over the Dolphins. Thought we'd put together a little compilation of how tough a night Ryan Tannehill had. Here's one of Ninkovich meeting Tannehill in the backfield. And here's another one, Chandler Jones with one of his 8.5 sacks on the season. Finally, Tannehill doing everything he can to get the football out of the end zone on that safety.
Players' Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through new ways of thinking.
Joining me now in the Gillette Stadium locker room, Patriots wide receiver Brandon LaFell. Brandon, coming off PUP, and then you had a short week with two games, and then you had a week off. How are you feeling physically just getting back into the groove?
Feeling pretty good. That is the short. I kind of like the short weeks, man. Short weeks mean less practice. You just one day of practice, you get back out there, you get back into the groove of things. But had a long weekend, had a couple of days to get my legs back underneath me. Now we're starting off a long week of practice, and I'm ready to go.
Coming off that Jets game, were you sore at all, or were you happy to get back out there so quickly? Because obviously you were hard on yourself. You had a couple drops, and you were able to make the catches against the Dolphins. How did that play?
I was a little sore. It was my first really real live contact since the Super Bowl game, but I was happy with Short Week, happy to get that game behind me, get back out there and make some plays and just move forward.
You're watching an offense that's putting up big points, making a lot of plays. All these guys are catching balls. Is that kind of like missing out on the party, sitting on the sideline?
It's definitely. It's just like you're that kid at recess and you're in timeout. You see everybody else having fun, playing your favorite game, but you can't do nothing about it because you're in timeout.
Now, looking ahead, you have the Washington Redskins coming here to Gillette Stadium this week. What does that defense pose in terms of a challenge?
Man, those guys got a great defense, man. They play fast. You never know what they're going to call on defense. They'll spill and dial defense, man. They never play the same coverage on the same downs. And they got a good group of safeties, you know. Ghostin, the guy that came from Tampa, he's back there making big plays, hitting people. They got, I think, D'Angelo Hall is coming back. Chris Culliver, guys that got speed. And then a savvy vet and D. Hall is good out there making plays, putting guys in the right place to make good plays. And a group of linebackers led by Perry Rodgers is pretty good.
I think it's interesting that you clicked pretty quickly with Tom Brady last year when you joined this team as a free agent. Do you even know what the key to that was where so many other guys struggled?
I think knowing the full playbook, not being limited, just knowing one spot, being able to move around, being the slot, being outside, just being able to move around and make plays in different spaces, just not being a one-spot guy with time, and then making tough catches.
And one of the things we see with you guys a lot is that back shoulder throw. How quickly did that become part of the game for you two, and how hard is that to defend if you guys are executing?
It took us a while to get it because we kept coaching it up. We kept changing here and there how deep down the field we want to look, how soon we want to look down the field. But it's one of those plays when you get the right time, and it's hard to defend because if you're a corner, if you want to play over the top, we're going to hit your back shoulder. If you want to play underneath, we're just going to go over the top of you. So it's one of those things, if you guess wrong, you're going to get beat.
Okay, we know you can catch the football, and we know that you can please Tom Brady, but you have a charity event coming up, a bowling event. What are your skills on the lanes?
I'm decent. I don't want to brag right now and say I'm this and that and get out there and be terrible in front of everybody. But
and what's decent? Decent? I mean, are we talking 200 decent, 100 decent? What's decent?
I'm 160 decent. I'm 160 decent. I'll give you a few strikes, pick up a few spares here and there.
Okay, if people want to join your event and come out and see it, where is it? Give them a little more information.
It's next Tuesday, November the 10th at North Bowling Lanes. Go to strikesforkidsboston.com for more information about it.
As we look at the matchups for Sunday against the Washington Redskins, you realize Redskins not as good as their 3-4 record would indicate. Not a lot of production, not a lot of talent. That's why they're excited to get DeSean Jackson back from a hamstring injury that he suffered in week one. Zero catches this year, but this is a guy who led the NFL 20.9 yards per reception a year ago, has had a 60-yard catch in every year he's played in the NFL. Big play guy who's looking to make big plays for the Skins. And the Redskins need DeSean Jackson because without him, they have been a short passing game, 6.4 yards per attempt for Kirk Cousins, lowest in the National Football League among starters. Sure, he's completing 68.7% of his passes, but when they're all near the line of scrimmage, as long as you tackle, you're okay. So, guess what? It's another week where Jamie Collins, Dont'a Hightower, and the rest need to tackle. Luckily, that's been a strength of his defense. Finally, we'll stick with that defense, that run defense that's been better each and every week. Now number 7 run defense in the NFL against Alfred Morris and Matt Jones, the rookie. Neither guy has been all that impressive of late. In fact, Alfred Morris under 2 yards a carry the last 3 weeks. But the Redskins do want to be balanced because they don't have a great quarterback. They're going to come out and try to establish the run. That means Hightower and company need to establish the run defense.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Not just about offense. Old school guys like to think defense beats offense, but I don't think that's the way it is anymore.
You are a typical new age Patriots fan.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, mobilizing your world.
When it comes to offense in the NFL, running backs have been made second-class citizens. It's clearly the passing era. But be careful what you wish for. Too much of anything can become boring, and that's why I'm excited about Todd Gurley. In the age of QB or bust, Gurley has come in as a rookie and reminded fans how exciting the run game can be. In just 3 games, he's run for 575 yards and is averaging 6.1 yards per carry with 3 scores. He's also caught the ball 10 times, but we're talking about running right now. We should all be rooting for Gurley and anyone else who can carry the rock through all levels of the defense. It just makes football a better all-around game.
I love my Around the NFL segments when I can actually see the games around the NFL, and that's what we got a chance to do on Sunday. It was a red zone Sunday in the Perillo House, and I was in particular concerned about that Giants and Saints game, the 52-49 ending. We all know what happened. Tom Coughlin has real trouble punting the ball in tie games very late, and instead of getting to overtime, he ends up losing. But he lost this time because the Saints fumbled their punt return around midfield. It went forward. The Saints recovered it, and while the Giants were tackling the Saints returner, they end up committing a face mask penalty. But here's the thing. You can't advance that fumble, so the face mask never should have happened. But the Giants tackled him anyway. It's human nature. They end up getting in field goal range, and sure enough, New Orleans wins the game with a game-winning field goal. Again, on a play that never should have happened. Tom Coughlin needs to learn you don't have to punt the ball in the field of play at the end. Just kick it out of bounds and play for overtime.
Jim Caldwell and the Lions got their butts kicked last Sunday in London, 45-10. And with the curse of London and head coaches, one might have expected Caldwell to not make the trip back across the pond to Detroit. But Lions fans, you should not be rooting for that. What you should be rooting for is for the Ford family to keep Caldwell through the end of the season. Why? Because your team stinks. And after your team stinks for a year, what do you want? The highest draft pick possible. And guess what? Jim Caldwell, dead on the sideline as he is, gives you the best chance to pick number one overall. Woohoo!
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Sunday night, we watched the Denver Broncos dominate the Green Bay Packers. And that begs the question, Paul Perillo, are you rethinking how you feel about the Broncos?
Not really. Not really.
Were you impressed at all?
I think the same.
Aaron Rodgers dominated, less than 100 yards.
I thought their performance Sunday night was very impressive. I absolutely do. But I went into that game knowing that they had a good defense, and I have some questions about Peyton Manning's arm and his offense. On one night, Peyton Manning showed me that he could still throw the football for one night. I still have concerns.
That was a one-time thing.
I do. I think
why?
Because I'm judging it off of 7 weeks.
But what's going to change moving forward? How do you know he's not building a trend,
a couple of things will change moving forward. Maybe he's learned to hop, step, and throw.
A
couple of things will change. One, he won't have 2 weeks to prepare for the Patriots game, so he won't have that extra rest. Two, the weather's bound to be a little bit colder at the end of November than it was at the end of October.
Bad weather in Denver's overrated. We know how that is. That mountain effect air, it stays warm longer. That's overrated. Well,
It could be a warm night.
It'll be beautiful.
Right.
And guess what? He also
could
do it one more night to derail your perfect season and derail your hopes.
And here's another thing.
And you're focusing too much on Peyton Manning. How about we focus on that defense that made Aaron Rodgers, who most people said was the best quarterback in the NFL. He's mobile. He's accurate. He can do this. He throws on the run, jumps. Guess what? He looked terrible. I have never seen him look that bad, and that's because Denver can cover, maybe the best secondary in football, and they can rush, one of the better pass rushers in football. Yeah. That can make any quarterback look bad.
Yeah, and I also want to get onto what Green Bay did in this game. We'll start with your offense. Aaron Rodgers, why are they trying to run the ball so much? Why are they trying to be balanced? Mistakes that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick won't make. They'll put the ball in Tom Brady's hands. They'll use Rob Gronkowski, as you say, the most unstoppable force in football, and
Indeed.
You're right. They'll use Deion Lewis out of the backfield. They'll test those small, fast linebackers. Let's see if they can get him in space.
And Denver has nothing to say about it.
No. I think that the Patriots
have
too many responses, and I don't think that they have that kind of defense that's going to shut down the Patriots. Maybe the Patriots won't hang 40 on them like they do other teams, but they're not going to be down in the teens either. They're not going to end up with 10 like
Green
Bay.
I'm not so sure about that. Best home field advantage in football in Denver, correct?
It is, yes.
Best defense in football, correct?
Yes, but nowhere near the best offense in football, and that's what the Patriots have.
It's not just about offense.
You are a typical defense beats offense, but I don't think that's the way it is anymore.
You are a typical New Age Patriots fan. Offense didn't used to matter when it was Manning and the Colts. Now it's all that matters with Brady.
I don't know if you know, but there's been a lot of changes in the NFL over the last 10 years, and offense is what matters now.
You should be worried. Very, very worried.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Fisher Plows, a whole new way to attack winter. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Okay, it's time for questions on PFW, but first, this week's Wilson Hart Power Index.
And guess what?
What?
Big week. You know why?
Patriots are number one.
Packers lost. That means Packers drop down to number two. Patriots take over first place in the Wilson-Hart Power Index. Cincinnati 3, Arizona 4, Denver, and then the Carolina Panthers round out the top six.
All right, so just like the season, there's plenty of time for the index to come into form.
At some point, we'll see.
Okay.
I would have gone with just like the season, it's crap everywhere.
All right, well, I didn't want to be mean, but...
Well, if you want to take a shot at me, you should try to win.
Okay, let's get to the emails. The first one comes from Brett Larson, and he wants to talk about the secondary. He said in the preseason, you couldn't escape people being worried about the secondary. But in his mind, right now, Butler's doing pretty well. He likes what he sees out of Logan Ryan. And he thinks that, you know, the secondary, especially the safety, has been rated in the top five by some sites. Should we be concerned as we were?
Yes, I still think you need to be concerned. I'm actually more concerned now than I was in the preseason because you lost all those veteran bodies that I thought at some point would play themselves into the lineup, be contributors, whether it was Fletcher, Terrell Brown, whoever, and they're all gone, and you're getting by, in my opinion, with the likes of Justin Coleman, you know, Rashawn Melvin may or may not have to play at some point, Logan Ryan. So, you know, Butler, okay, he's your number one corner. I think he's struggled the last couple weeks. I think he's been run all over the field by Decker and others, but I still have a lot of worries about the back end.
All right, Jamie O writes in, Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins will all be looking for a new deal soon. My question, how do the Patriots prioritize those three?
How do the Patriots or how do I? Because I can't talk for the Patriots. They don't like it when I do that, Bill has told me. So I'm going to go with me, and I'm going to say Jamie Collins would be my first. I think he's the most unique athlete. I think Dante Hightower has played his way into number two. But late push here by Chandler Jones, because I think Jones plays the most valuable position. If he can take that next step and become a true elite edge rusher, like we talked about, you know, earlier in the show with that pass rush against the Dolphins, if he can do that with more regularity, that's one of the most valuable positions in football. But right now, I'd still put him a little bit down the way because he got your ball sheared.
Certainly making a big push, though. You're right. Bill Duncan writes in, why doesn't Bill Belichick take the team early to Denver? The team needs time to adjust to the altitude and the two-hour time difference.
Well, I think that they have done that in the past, and I'd be surprised if we get to that game at the end of the month and he doesn't do it again. I think you guys will be out there a little bit ahead of time. We've seen him do it on the West Coast trips. We've seen him do it to Miami. Yep. He'll go down on a Friday, earlier than that. I think 1 year we went on a Thursday to Arizona. So those kinds of factors, even though Bill will tell us the whole week that the altitude is just in your head, it doesn't really exist. They believe it. They understand the heat in Miami early in the season is a factor, and they'll be prepared for Denver as well.
And you always tell me to pay attention to his actions,
what he does, not what he says.
No, he just tells you to pay attention. All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.